Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Where's Huddle with me, Bram, with me per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, it fired up, dude. Crazy fired up. Finally rejoining us after far too long, the host of the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, the lead of the Warriors pre- and post-game coverage, the rising voice of Bay Area sports, a vocal champion of keeping the great highway open, and a longtime friend of this show who did a great job with Steve Kerr today, Mr. Bonte Hill. What's going on, Bonte?
That's one of the greatest intros ever. I got to give you credit, Brad. I mean, your intros, one thing you do well. I've known you for how long? 8 years now? Your intros are on point. The fact that you squeezed in the great highway, that is some diehard listenership right there.
That's for you. That's
diehard roasting right there, Bram. And true story, I got a message on Instagram from somebody campaigning to keep the great highway open. You never know who's listening. And I told him, I will fight for your right. This is a joke. Now you got to grow. Like, outside lands is going on this weekend. You still want to close great highway? Like, come on now. Come on now.
Told you. I mean, vocal champion. Maxime, when this is done, look back through what Bonte just said. I need to know, did he say it's one of the things you do well or the one thing you do well? Because big distinction there, and I'm not sure how to feel. You know, like, it's right there. After
I'll just say it's one of the things you do well, just so I can be on your good side. You go into the weekend with a good.
Appreciate it. Because if after 8 years of friendship, the only thing you noticed I did well was introduce you, that'd be tough. That'd be a tough look for me. But you can't win them all, gentlemen. We normally start this show with one of two segments. We either do the glass half full, where you look back on recent Warriors hoop, give us something to like or don't, or we do the jump. If there's something that requires immediate attention, we jump right to it. Today, we get to have one topic for both. Steph Curry turning Captain America. Dude, we actually have real basketball to break down, and it's important. You know, it feels like something that deserves attention. And we don't always get to have Bonte. We save him for what feels like big moments. Feels like a big moment. So, Bonte, you'll remember in the glass half full, it's just whatever hits you, man. Yeah. Looking back at that Serbia win, things you liked, things you didn't, what stuck out?
Yeah, well, obviously what I loved, and not only just liked, but what I loved was seeing LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry on the floor at the same time in crunch moments, leading the charge and rallying from a 15-point fourth quarter deficit. As I'm watching those three guys, and, you know, we all have our feelings about Kevin Durant, who's a great warrior. We have our feelings about LeBron James, who we battled or who the Warriors battled for many, many years. I tried to sit back after that game, after watching the highlights again and watching the fourth quarter over and looking at all the photos and liking everything on Instagram. It's like, I hope that I appreciate what all three of those gentlemen have done throughout the entirety of their career. They've played high-level basketball and entertained us for so long. And I thought, wow, how lucky am I to have lived through the Jordan era, through the prime years of Jordan, winning all six of those championships, the prime years of Barkley, who didn't win a championship, the prime years of Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade. And I'm sitting there watching Steph, KD, and LeBron at the ages that they're at, late 30s, still bringing it home from Team USA. I had goosebumps. I had chills. And I said, you know what? I'm going to appreciate these moments here because they're going to be gone soon. You know what I'm saying? We don't know how long LeBron's going to play or Steph's going to play or Kevin Durant. They're definitely in some of the final chapters of their career, even though they're still playing at a high level. So I just love the fact that we saw those three guys, you know, in crunch time alongside Devin Booker and Joel Embiid, who played big against Jokic in that game against Serbia. But those three guys scoring the final 13 points and playing team basketball, the intensity that they played at. And Steve Kerr said, to hell with the rotations in the fourth quarter, which I'll get to in just a second. That was just special, man. And I didn't like it. I loved that. I mean, it was like, boy, for USA, for the country, high-level basketball, you had to make every possession count down the stretch. It was lovely, man. So I just appreciated those three guys. What I didn't like, Brandon Maxine, was obviously the rotations, right? And it's been a big talk. And you mentioned how I had Steve Kerr on the show today. And you know, I kind of joked with him about the rotations or whatnot. But I understand it is hard to get everybody into the game. It is hard when you have this the plethora of talent that you have on this roster. However, it does feel a little – it feels wrong to not have Jason Tatum play at least 5 minutes or 3 minutes. Or 4 minutes. I mean, this is a three-time first-team All-NBA guy. He's a cover of Sports Illustrated, the NBA champ, a cover of a video game, the highest-paid player in the league. We can't find a couple minutes for Jason Tatum, who could play the three, play the four, could do many, many things. The rotation part of it, I get it. Everybody's not going to be able to play. But I think it has caused a little bit of tension, which is why they got off to that slow start against Serbia. That Jason Tatum's not going to play. They're going to have a game where an MVP of a league and Joel Embiid's not going to play. So I get the rotations or whatnot, but I hate to see the heat to Steve Kerr's getting because he is a great coach, a four-time champion. But part of it is, can't see Tatum for a little bit. Now, I'm not playing
loved it.
Tatum. I love seeing LeBron, Steph, and KD, first and foremost. Let me make that straight. But you got a guy who's an MVP candidate not getting a single second or two of the games that we got to find some minutes for him there.
We'll cover. So I got a bunch of Tatum stuff for you. All right. And I mean, to no one's surprise, as the resident hater, I love that. I loved how unhappy he was. I love that he never took off his fucking warm-ups. But again, we'll cover that in his night. Just overarching things. Yeah, I'll start with some things I don't like. I didn't like Bogdan Bogdanovic doing the Melo thing, you know, up into his head. And in fact, has there ever been a time where some player has done another player's celebration where it wasn't a fuck you? You know, like if you're ever like if he had done like the LeBron James throne thing, if he had done any of them, it comes off as a fuck you. So I didn't like that he was doing that. I don't like when these games are played. I found out the fucking result before I got home. I had it taped. And so I loved it. You know, it was incredible. That's but brutal. The it's hard to get into it when you already know its results. Yeah. Right. But things I liked, man, things I like. Number one, being able to enjoy the signature play style of players I've come to sports hate. You know, like watching LeBron barrel to the rim has been this really terrible thing for me as a Warrior fan. You know, like I've never been able to root for it, dude. It sucks. Having it, watching it towards the fourth quarter, watching the inevitability of his physicality help my team, I love that shit. Embiid, you know, pulling up from three or using his physicality, I normally root against it. Being able to get into it, I really like. But for this game, boys, what I love the most was the emergence of stakes. You know, so up until now, this has been like a stakeless scenario. Watching the Olympic team roll through each of their opponents has been great, but there hasn't been any risk. You know, it's like watching like the first 20 minutes of an Avengers movie. They were never being pushed at all. And so I thought that's how this was going to go. they're, you know, they were going to roll through Serbia. They were going to roll through France and fine. You know, we get to celebrate it through it. And then the biggest stakes emerge. You know, if this goes a different way, imagine the repercussions, dude. If LeBron ends up with two bronze medals, if Steph Curry, his one and only Olympics, bronze medal, if Steve Kerr's rotation causes the U.S. to lose, if the U.S. comes out and says, we care about this, then they come in third place, best. The stakes that emerged as this game went out meant the world to me, and it just made for great television and an incredible experience. And it's also, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking alone. The way the U.S. reacted when they won that game, you know, everybody was feeling that, with the exception of one Mr. Jason Tatum, who, again, we will cover in a moment. But Maxime, what stuck out to you?
Well, I had the good fortune, now that I learned that you didn't get to see it live, of watching it live. And what a roller coaster. Yeah, this is exactly the dream scenario for a game in terms of we won it. But I went from being like, this is in the bag before the tip, to saying to myself, holy shit, are we about to lose to Serbia? You know, are we about to have to hear not just all of the takes about Steve Kerr and his rotations, about Steph Curry being a choker when it matters the most, whatever. On top of it, we're going to have to hear about how Jokic is really the MVP of not just the league, but of the world. And I have a young son. He's 9 months old. We're not doing screen time except for basketball. And so I watched the game with him. My wife was working, and it was doubly stressful to have a 9 month old who, like, I mean, he doesn't understand what's going on with basketball, despite my constant attempts to explain to him what's happening. So he's stressed, and then he's adding to my stress, right? Because the kids, you know, he's like, he's annoyed, he doesn't want to be there anymore, whatever, but I have to watch this game. And then in the final 3-4 minutes, right, as the tide starts turning, as we finally take the lead for the first time since minute two or whatever, I'm screaming, you know, I'm jumping, I'm slapping my knee and stuff. And my kid's getting into it right now. He's like, oh, this is fun. So it was such a beautiful moment for me, because, again, he's not going to remember this, right? But this is, I got to point the screen and be like, that's Steph Curry, right? This is our dude, right? This is what you get as a Warriors fan right now. And for me, it was such a core memory. And to see my kid be so excited for, I mean, me being excited, but to be able to experience that with him, to be able to say, yes, like, we overcame, instead of watching Steph go 1 point shy of Carmelo's a record for number of points scored in an Olympic game, I got to say, oh yeah, Steph went for 36, which is like really a 50 pointer, let's be real, with these 10 point quarters. On top of it all, we got to see this epic comeback. We got to see Steph be clutch. We got to see him have this an amazing two-man game with LeBron. Just everything coming together in these final moments. It was a perfect story. And for me, it was a perfect moment because I got to have that experience with my kid.
Dude, I knew the outcome. And I got so sucked into the tension that I was reacting as if I didn't know. With like 3 minutes left, I'm telling Erica, my wife, like, can you believe this? And she very calmly is like, dude, we know what happens. It's like, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm looking at the box score. Like, why are you all fired up? Okay, Bonte, Tatum. Okay, so there's a quote that came out today from Celtics legend Bob Cousy, who got a little upset, dude. Here, I'll just read it to you. Quote, Tatum is on the cover of Sports Illustrated this month. Any experts that I've read lately have chosen him in the top five, and sometimes number one in the fucking world. Now Kerr is telling the world that he doesn't agree. In a 40-minute game, if you can't find 5 minutes to play someone on the team without hurting yourself, when Kerr did it last week, he was in no danger of losing the game. But in this case, they got down by 17 points, and he's got to worry about losing the game. And then to not let Tatum get off the bench, to me, there's got to be some kind of bias that he's got against the Celtics. So, Bonte, do you think, I mean, is there any conspiracy to this, dude? You know, is Cousy tapping into something here? Is there some secret Celtic hate behind the rotations?
I mean, look, I respect Bob Cousy. I love the way he shut down JJ Redick a few years ago or whatnot. What he was saying, oh, he was playing against a bunch of plumbers. Bob Cousy will cook the crap out of JJ Redick. There's no doubt about that. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Derek White's on his basketball team. If I'm not mistaken, Drew Holiday's on his basketball team.
Who starts? So,
right, who starts? And Derek White plays ahead of Jason Tatum and ahead of Tyrese Halliburton. So the bias thing is just ridiculous. He's got no bias against the Celtics. I understand the passion of wanting to see Jason Tatum play on this stage. But honestly, like, as much as I want to see Jason play at least 3 minutes or 4 minutes, because I just think it's right. Are you really going to play him in front of Kevin Durant?
Yeah, of course. Exactly no, right.
Not even close. Devin Booker has had a hell of an Olympic run, sacrificing his offense, playing team basketball, playing defense, locking in on that. So I don't know if you're going to play him ahead of Devin Booker. The whole bias thing is like, oh, my God, Steve Kerr hates the Celtics. Now, Jason Tatum next season may come out and try to average 55 a game against the Warriors. That's definitely a possibility. And it is unfortunate because he was part of the last dream team in Tokyo where he won a gold medal with Team USA. So that's a little strong. I do agree. Again, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes playing here and there, sure, why not? I think Tatum does deserve that. He's that special of a player. And when you think about the future of Team USA, he's going to be one of the catalysts alongside Anthony Edwards and Devin Booker and possibly Tyrese Halliburton and Bam Adebayo. But the Celtics bias thing, like that's a little strong.
I love the idea. You're right. Of course you're right. I mean, of course there's nothing going on here. But the idea of it really entertains me, especially because Spoelstra is on the coaching staff too. And so the idea of, you know, like they go into training camp, they fly out to fucking France and they have a conversation like, oh, Boston's looking pretty good, man. You know, and they just re-signed all these people and Tatum is on this roll and he's probably going to use the Olympics to really catapult himself. Like, what can we do? How can we do this? And the idea of the multi-step, they're like, all right, number one, let's get rid of Kawhi. Don't bring in Jaylen. Don't say anything. Let's just cause a little conversation there. All right, number two, once we bring in Derek White instead of Jaylen, play him way more than Tatum. Play him way more than Tatum. And then I think the final thing, what I hope happens, is we have a blowout in the championship game. Like we're just destroying France. And in the last 30 seconds, they give Tatum walk-on minutes. They're like, oh, no, go ahead. You can go play for 30 seconds so you can tell your kids you played in this. And again, I don't think that's what's happening, but I love the idea.
If we're going to go full conspiracy mode, you might as well throw Ty Lue in there, who was a longtime L.A. Laker. And we know the Lakers hate the Celtics as well. So he's got that Laker bloodline. Everyone's like, oh, the Celtics? Want to screw them over? Sure, why not? I'll sign all four of them. Let's go full conspiracy theories. Come on.
I hope it's true. Back to things that might be more rooted in reality. All right. So I talked about stakes. And what I started thinking was, what's more important to players? You know, where does a gold medal rank on the accomplishment list of an NBA player? And what I came to is I think it matters where you are, not who you are in your career, right? And so instead of just throwing that out, I'm going to give you boys some names, okay? Let's start with Anthony Edwards. Let's say somebody came to Anthony Edwards and says, up to you, all right? You can press this button. You are guaranteed to win an MVP. Absolutely guaranteed it's going to happen, but you're not going to win this gold medal. You press this button, you're going to get the gold medal instead of the MVP. My assumption on Edwards is, my guess, he goes MVP. I don't think there's any question. I think he hits it hard. Do you guys agree?
I think so. I agree with you there. Yeah, MVP, NBA MVP. You get a lot of more notoriety because once the Olympics are over, do we ever say, hey, that guy's an Olympic gold medal winner? Right. Probably don't, yeah.
Okay, so now take it to someone in a different part of their career, LeBron James. If they came to LeBron right now and said, what means more, another MVP or a gold medal, what do you think he says? I mean, at 40.
Another MVP, I would think.
Because at 40, it means kind of a big,
you know what I'm saying?
And as I asked you that, Bonte, before I finished the sentence, I was like, he's definitely going to say MVP. I'm setting that this up right. And then as I started finishing, it's like, oh, shit. He's not going to say it. All right, let me give you another one. Maxime, I'll go to you on this one first so that Bonte doesn't fuck me up on it. How about Steph Curry? If Steph Curry could win another MVP or solidify this gold medal, what means more?
No, this is the point. This is the capstone. He's got the MVP. He doesn't have the Olympic gold medal. That's the difference between him and LeBron. LeBron does. And I think once you have one, you get to say that. People don't count in basketball the golds the way they count MVPs. And so then, you know, that's LeBron stacking his legacy a little bit. But you saw it yesterday with the guy who won the 110 hurdles. He was talking about, I won the NC2As. Then I won world championships, right? Now I've done it. Like, I've also got the gold medal. Obviously, track is very different from basketball. But, you know, when you're stacking accolades, it's like, yep, I've got something in that category. I've got something in that category. Now, to be fair, right, the competition, this is why Noah Lyles is saying they're world champions of what? Everybody knows that the best athletes in basketball play in the NBA. If you can get to the NBA, you go to the NBA, right? And so to see, right, the competition is more stiff. It's more impressive to get an MVP than it is to win a gold medal for the USA because that team's so much more stacked.
Do you agree, Monte?
Yeah.
What would Steph pick?
Yeah, Steph, I think at this stage will pick the gold medal because this is his first go around in the Olympics. Like Maxime said, I agree with everything. He doesn't have that on a resume, right? Yep. And then, it's funny. I started thinking about Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, the half glass full segment, I was looking at Melo. Some people don't like it. I kind of love that he was sitting courtside.
Telling
the offense to spread out, telling KD go. Like, he was losing, pointing at Steph Curry when he hits a three and doing this. Like, Melo was in his bag, and he's going at it with Bogdanovich. I kind of liked it. I know a lot
of liked it, too.
But I loved it. Like, because you think about the Olympics, Melo, that was his claim to fame. He didn't win anything in the NBA. He didn't win an MVP. He made all NBA teams or whatnot, but gold medals is what he was known for, like basically being the catalyst for the Olympic team. So I do definitely think I agree with Maxime, man. Steph wanted that gold medal to be in Paris on this stage, at this stage of his career. That's the one thing missing from his resume. And now he's 40 minutes away from doing that.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. we can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Two personal questions before we get to the Warriors. Personal question number one. Could you handle what Jason Tatum is handling? If you're on that team and you don't play a minute, not one, and I haven't talked to him. I don't know how he's dealing with it. The fact that he decided to not take off his warmups is a lot. You know, like if my wife makes me go to a party with her friends and I don't want to go, and I show up because she forces me to, but I never take off my jacket. I'm just sitting there like, fuck you. I'm going to be slightly uncomfortable here and I'd like everyone to know it. That's a thing, you know, and then he decided not to take off his warmups. It's a thing. So for you, could you, I can see you maybe being able to handle it. To be transparent, I wouldn't. I would ruin it for everybody. I'd be the guy hella quiet on the bus. You know, like I wouldn't go out. Like I'd be all deep in my feelings. How would you deal with it?
Yeah, not well. I mean, you talk about these guys, they have massive egos, right? You have to have egos to be in this league. You got to be arrogant. You got to be confident. I mean, you're playing against the best of the world. And I'm coming off an NBA championship. I finally got the monkey off my back. I've already had to deal with the fact that the camera's panning to me when Jaylen Brown is receiving the Bill Russell Finals MVP award, even though I led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. I've got to deal with that already, right? I've got to deal with, hey, I wasn't even a conference MVP in the conference finals, for crying out loud. Jaylen Brown got that one. I'm already being told that, boy, Jason Tatum comes up short or whatnot. You've been in the spotlight for so long. And then finally, you win that championship. You got Deuce rolling around with you. You're on top of the world. You're at Michael Rubin's all-white parties. You're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You're on the cover of a video game. You got the massive contract. And you come to Team USA and won a couple of important games. You're like, I'm on the bench? I'm not playing? When's the last time Jason Tatum did not play in a game? He wore a uniform. Like, what, 6 years old, 5 years old? Like, this
even
is,
then, probably never, dude. Never. Probably never.
Never. You know, probably how never. Do you cheer? How do you get off the bench? It's clap for your team. How do you go to the gym knowing, like, I'm not going to contribute at all to a win against Serbia? So I wouldn't handle it well if I was Jason Tatum. Kudos to him for taking a high road, being a professional. It can't be easy. You saw Joel Embiid on the bench. It wasn't easy for him. You got to suck your pride up. And I mean, come on, man. I would not handle it, Maxime and Brim. I wouldn't do it.
No, you got to figure it. This is all speculation, but you got to figure when he first showed up, first few days before they know rotations, he feels like the fucking prom king.
Oh,
you know, he just won. And all these stars have watched him win. And like, they're the new team. And this is how it's going to go. And the assumption is I'm going to be the man on the Olympic team too. And then whenever they had that team meeting where you had to be taken to the side and they're like, oh, we're not going to be playing you tomorrow at all. You know, like it just is what it is. Like, no, I'm not going to handle that well. You know, F that, man.
At the same time, if you're down 17, you know, LeBron is standing up. If it's LeBron and Tatum that are switched, LeBron is checking himself into that game, right? That's the difference, right? Like there's a certain level of alpha to this. And I mean, like LeBron's not going to be benched in this case. Like he had a triple double. I mean, the dude is unbelievable. It's so nice to finally be able to root for him and not root against him. But like, that's the difference between these personality types. You know, Tatum kind of fades a little bit and he fades onto the bench.
Second personal question. If you could be the best in the world at any Olympic sport, right now, another magic button question. You press the magic button, you are right now gold medalist in that sport. What do you pick?
100 meter dash, world's fastest man.
Yep.
I mean, that race, I don't know if you guys watched that race live. From the fireworks in the stadium. I forget the name of the stadium out there, friends, but it looked awesome. And then you get the intros, the individual intros, which I've never seen before. Track and
field. I didn't know that happened.
I mean, it's like Noah Lyles running out there halfway down the track, screaming at the crowd. The guy from Jamaica doing this. Being the world's fastest man and winning at heat in 100 meters, because it does mean something. You're on your feet. You're watching. It's like a horse race, right? The Kentucky Derby. You're coming down the back stretch or whatnot. It's the 100-meter dash for me. I would love to be on top of the world in that event, be called the world's fastest man, stand on a podium, singing the national anthem with a gold medal. That's the event for me.
Where you're nailing it is that title. It's not the event. It's being able to say I'm the world's fastest man. You know, that like being able to drop that. Also, I hate how competent and incredible Noah Lyles is. After the whole like world champion or what? Like I wasn't a big fan of it. And now it turns out, I don't know, he's elite and probably deserves all the stage he has. My answer is going to seem very stupid now, so I'm going to save it until after we hear from Maxime. Who do you got? Or what do you got?
Well, also, I mean, fuck, shout out to Noah Lyles, who gets COVID and then still manages to get bronze in the 200, which just, that is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that is truly epic stuff. I mean, I think the 100 is the answer, but just to say something different, I come from distance running. It would be so sick to win a gold in the 1500, which happened for the Americans for the first time in many, many years. It was an incredible race. And that's also like, I respect and admire the sort of gladiator vibes that come from the sprinters, but I love the kind of more heady, like nerdy weirdos that are in the distance running community. And so I would like to be able to say, oh yeah, I'm elite in this event among all these like bookish, brilliant athletes.
I'm going to lean into my answer.
Who's a woman? Sorry to cut you off, Brad. Who's the woman who just won? I think she won two distances, won a gold in both. Either from Kenya or Ethiopia. I was just playing NCAA football. The race took like 30 minutes. They were running like over 30 laps. It was insane.
In the 10K.
I think 5K and 10K, maybe. And then they ring the bell for the final lap and they start sprinting. I'm like, how are you sprinting after already running like 29, 30 laps? It's ridiculous.
Are you upset that he had to look this up? His facial expression screams he's on Google right now. And after I want to be a part of this thoughtful community, I thought for sure he'd have that name just fucking ready to fire off. And it turns out, no. Whatever it is now, it doesn't matter. You didn't know it.
It does not matter. No. But she's awesome.
Here's the reveal for me. Ping pong. I'm going to be the best ping pong player on earth. And here's why. Doesn't come with a cool-ass title, but it comes with years and years and years of dominance. After I come home, those ping pong skills, like anytime anybody wants to fuck with me, I am destroying them. I'm casually having ping pong parties at the house, you know, barbecues or the ping pong table just happens to be out, whatever. And so I would be able to weaponize that to close this.
Well, and then you also get to be the starting guard for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So win-win.
Yeah, exactly right. Have a whole reality TV series where Ann Edwards and I play 21. Okay. Warrior stuff. Yeah. Quick and dirty. I know it's at the back end here, but it'd be crazy if we didn't get a couple of your opinions. To start off, softball. Because it feels like now that the Lori Markkanen thing has happened, this is probably the roster, at least as we go in. Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling about this roster? You know, are we better than last year? The same? And where do you stand?
Yeah, I don't know if they're better than last year, right? The pieces they have is intriguing, right? I love the D'Anthony Melton pickup. If his back could hold up, I think that's a really good pickup, along with slow-mo Kyle Anderson, who could do some things there. And I'm betting on Andrew Wiggins returning to be Andrew Wiggins that we saw. I'm buying the stock in Andrew Wiggins. Last year, I don't know what happened with him, right? I just don't know. But I do think that Andrew Wiggins steps his game up, and we see the Andrew Wiggins that we saw a couple years ago. I think Kuminga continues to take a leap, along with Pods and CJD. I don't know how good they are. Because I understand the Western Conference is getting better and better and better. But I wasn't like slamming the table over the fact that they didn't get Lowry Markkanen or Paul George. I don't know how much better the Warriors are with Paul George in terms of, are they a championship contender with just Paul George? Are you able to attract other players with Paul George? And then Lowry Markkanen, though he's a nice player, man. He really is. Step out and hit the three, obviously. 7 foot, has some size. They would have had to give up a ton for him. A ton. All those picks for Lowry Markkanen. So as of right now, I do like the fact that they have financial flexibility.
Yeah.
You're under the first and second apron, and you still have your assets. So you know Lowry Markkanen is going to be in Utah for at least another year. Cool. We act like there's not going to be another NBA superstar who becomes available at some point over the next 6 months. Maybe it happens at the trade deadline. But my thing is this. If you could just hover around 6, 7, 8 by the NBA trade deadline, maybe you pull off a Dallas Mavericks from last season and pull a move where you could get some parts in. You know what? We need to go get these complimentary pieces, these ancillary pieces, and now let's go make a run here. Because the NBA is starting to feel like March Madness in a way, with the way the playoffs are structured, the IST tournament. You don't feel like you need the number one seed necessarily to get to the playoff or get to the NBA finals. So I like where they're at right now in terms of financial flexibility. Let's see what happens over the next 2 months, because it's very – let's be real. It's important for Steph to get off to a great start. If the Warriors don't get off to a great start, all of a sudden the noise becomes loud and louder when it comes to Stephen Curry. And then the international media, the national media come here to the Bay Area for the All-Star game. And the number one question is, what are the Warriors going to do with Stephen Curry? What are they going to do with Stephen Curry? And that gets louder and louder for Joe Lacob and company. And We all know we don't want to see Steph Curry wearing another uniform. Hell no, especially after that game against Serbia. That's our guy. Nobody else's guy. That's our guy. And then you see all the love affair between him and LeBron on the floor and KD. It's like, we don't want that. We want Steph in a Warriors uniform. But I don't know how much to answer your question. I know it was long-winded there, Bram, but I don't know how much better they are than last season. But I love the financial flexibility. I do think some guys will be able to step up. And if you're hovering around that play-in tournament or the 6-7-8 seed around the deadline, there's going to be another superstar who becomes available. We had no idea Lowry was available, right? We heard Bradley Beal for so many years. Somebody's going to be disgruntled, and you'll be in a position to use those assets you didn't give up to Utah, because we all know Danny Ainge is a stickler, and you'll be able to save some of those assets for a potential trade down the line.
It's exactly what I think is going to happen. I think someone else is going to get unhappy. They'll make a play with him or play at them before the deadline. Two last things. One, credit to you. Fun fact about most of the people who are furious about them not getting Lauri Markkanen, they've all watched him play less than 10 minutes total. Yeah, nobody. There's not somebody out there who's a Lauri Markkanen scholar. Like, nobody. None of us have spent time like, you know what I got to see tonight? Markkanen. No. I got like, let's get him up on League Pass. Let's go. But despite that, there's never been more Markkanen fans in the history of Lauri Markkanen than over these last like 2 to 3 weeks. You know, like they've all been positive he's the new Larry Bird, even though we haven't watched him play for shit. So I like the idea of them adding someone. I'm not heartbroken that it's not Lauri Markkanen. And to those saying that they haven't really changed the roster, I think Bonte hit that. And what he's saying is the Warriors are at least projecting the answer is in the building.
Yeah.
They think that JK makes a leap. They think that Andrew Wiggins comes back. So it's not, I mean, in their eyes, in the most optimistic standpoint, the roster isn't the same. This isn't the same Andrew Wiggins as he was last year. This isn't the same Jonathan Kuminga. Pods is making a leap. TJD is ready for a bigger role. The names are the same, but the players are different. And so we'll see. I mean, you know, that doesn't, you know, OKC's hella good, man. Like, I don't know if we're a championship contender, but we've, you know, they've made some improvements.
And let me add this real quick to Lowry Markkanen. You look at those bigs, and I look, I'm not going to sit here and say I watched every single Utah Jazz game, because I didn't. There's a few games I saw early on, especially against the LA Lakers, and a big like Anthony Davis. Yeah. And boy, Lowry struggled. He struggled. And you think about all the bigs in the Western Conference where there's Anthony Davis, Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic. You got the big boys in Minnesota with Naji, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. You got Zubac down with the Clippers, right? You got there's somebody, Şengün with Houston, Chet Holmgren in OKC, as you just mentioned. How does he stack up against those bigs? Those bigs, I mean, they could take you out the game, and then what? Now what? He's going to stand on the three-point line? These guys are athletic, too. So I just don't know how he's going to stack up in the West. We'll see about Utah. Again, he's a nice player.
No,
he's
you're right.
Nice player, but what was you trade all those assets for Lowry Markkanen? Well, how much better are you getting?
Dude, that's exactly.
Are you in the Western Conference?
If we were in the conversation, if the reporting was, we're about to get Victor Wembanyama, you know, and like we got right up to the, we're just about to get him, and then it fell apart. Okay. You know, then we can throw temper tantrums, and that's a huge swing and a miss, and we should have included everything. That's not who we were going at. Lauri Markkanen is not in the same conversational topic. You know, it's not the same caliber player. Bonte, we missed you. It's been too long, man. I like summer fro. Bonte, it's just good seeing you.
Oh, dude, it's way too long, man. The daughter's getting older. I'm getting more gray hairs. I'm getting less and less sleep. I mean, it is. It's been a fun summer, though. I'm not going to lie. The Giants are in it again, and you know, you got the Olympics going on, which saved us all. it has been too long. And the basketball season is going to be here before we know it, man. I'm surprised you didn't ask me about Kuminga and rumored extensions. I'm glad you didn't ask me about that, because I'm never ready to answer that.
I got one here, but I decided, no, we'll wait. We'll let that rumor play out. That's a little ridiculous. I really hope whoever in his life told him to make that public, I disagree with. But we won't jump down that rabbit hole. Quite yet. Yeah, is what it is. But for anybody who needs far more Bonte Hill in their life, where do they go?
I don't know if people want more Bonte Hill in their lives. You see my Twitter feed, man? I've blocked more people over the last month than I have in the last decade I've been on Twitter. It has been, I could tweet the sky is blue, the sun is shining, and some troll is going to say, you fat ass, you idiot. It's not blue, it's red. And it's not, I mean, it's just disagreements on disagreements, man. Just, I mean, it is unbelievable. So if you do want to follow me at your own risk, at Bonte Hill on X/Twitter, whatever the hell it is, or at 95.7thegame.com, you'll find me on there all the time. Get blocked by Bonte on Twitter. There we go. There we go. I blocked a lot of people, you know, especially for the people who say, he's just getting checks from Joe Lacob. Oh, yeah? Trust me, if I was getting checks from Joe Lacob, I'd be driving Lamborghinis and Land Rovers, homie. And I'd love to get those type of checks. You know what I mean?
You need to get a clip of that. Remember that commercial they do with Dikembe Mutombo blocking people in the supermarket for no reason? It's like, and then you get that, no. Yeah, you got to. That will now be the official noise for Bonte Hill Twitter for us. You want to get us an email, a question, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can send it to
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Boom. Look how fancy that is on the bottom.
That's a couple long way, man. I'm so
nervous. Yeah, look at what we got going here, dude. Look what we got going. We got a fucking two-man, video, synchronicity. Like, we got all things going. And for those you want to check out this incredible video we got going, check out our YouTube channel. We're trying hard on that. Got a lot of new content and are looking for followers. So help us out. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.